I'm on now. Whoa. Did you hear anything I've just said?
Yes.
No? Well, that's encouraging, because a lot of people say to me, I'm not switched on. There we go. Right, so, Mission Magazine, Christmas cards, 80 quid a pack, did I say? Or was it? Yes, 80 quid a pack, good value, that is, at the moment. Right, Bible reading. Good to have a Bible reading. But there are some really exciting things going on in Eastern Europe and Central Asia at the moment. Churches in the war zone say this is a good time for them, because they're seeing people respond to the gospel. And even in this country, I was in a church in a mission meeting in London, as I said last night, and they were telling me how a Polish couple started coming to their church and got saved just a few weeks ago, and now they're attending the church regularly. So there's some good things going in and out the world, and we need to take stock of the fact that God is doing some good things. I'm not the only missionary here this morning. My lad Josh goes into Romania quite a bit now, so if you want to know more about Romania, you can talk to him. He speaks more Romanian than I do, so there we go, shame on me. If you have your Bibles with you, perhaps you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 21 onwards. And I thought I'd do something a bit sort of Christmassy. And it says this about the baby Jesus. He's 8 days old, and it says in verse 21 of chapter 2, when the eighth day had come to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, just the name as the angel had given him before he was conceived. And when the time of purification according to the law of Moses had completed, Mary and Joseph took him to present him to the Lord, as is written in the Old Testament. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. Verse 25, it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought him the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will also pierce your own soul. There was also a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old, having lived with her husband just 7 years from her marriage, and then a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And Joseph and Mary had done everything required to the law of the Lord. They returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Right. Are we up and running, lads? Yep, if I press that forward button, will they think? I've just moved it on, have I? There we go. Excellent. It's nice having two young lads at the back doing technology. Well done, lads, because I'm a real technology numpty. I do it because I have to do it. I prefer the old method. Do you remember the old overhead projector? We had these transparencies. Yeah, I prefer that because you can see what's happening. Well, we're nearly here at Christmas, aren't we? And that's not working. Shall I plug my one in and see if it works a bit better? Is that okay? Disconnected. We'll blame it on Microsoft. There we go. If you put that in instead and see what happens. Put another 50p in the slot and away we go. Don't need to. There we go. It should pick it up. There we go. There we go. Keep calm. It's nearly Christmas. Well, it is, isn't it? How many days have we got left now?
Eight.
Eight days. It's good that lads at the back are awake, isn't it? Because I'm not awake. Look as if you're awake either. Keep calm. It's nearly Christmas. Well, are you on Santa's list? Or are you on Santa's naughty list? I think I'm on Santa's naughty list, because I never get anything right these days. But there we go. This is what Christmas is going to mean to a lot of people over the next few days. We could probably turn the lights down a little bit if you wanted to, just so you can see the picture a bit clearly. Anyone like to blow the candle out? Thank you, David. There we go. Is that better? Yes, yes, there we go. So this is what it's going to be like over the next few days, either in Tesco's where every little doesn't help, or Aldi or Lidl. You know, you can find Lidl and Aldi and Tesco's in every part of the world now. It's just absolutely incredible. When I go overseas, people say to me, we're going to take you out this afternoon to a place that's going to make you feel at home. And they take me to a local Tesco's. And it's just absolutely ludicrous. But so this is what it's going to be like this week. It's going to be absolutely mayhem. And to be honest, I don't like this time of year, just because it's all like this. And I don't like being in crowds of people like that. But the real question we really need to ask at the moment is, what state is the world in? It's in a real mess, isn't it? And what do we need to actually fix it? It's interesting, the head of NATO recently said that the world is in the most dangerous place since the eve of the Second World War. Well, for somebody to actually come out and say that, we need to kind of take note and think, well, actually, we are in a real mess. So what is it we actually really need to fix the world? How are we going to fix this world? Well, there are all sorts of ideas at the moment. And if you were to ask the average person out on the street and say, listen, the world is in a real mess, what do we really need to fix it? These are the average responses. Some people say, we need an economist. The world is in such a mess financially, we need somebody to come in and fix it. Somebody who's not corrupt, somebody who won't take bribes, and somebody who can sort out the deficits that every country is in. Again, what the BBC, I won't just slag off the BBC, but any kind of news really won't tell you, is the amount of debt every nation in Europe is in at the moment is just frightening. And nobody seems to be aware, or seems to be waking up to the fact that actually we need more than an economist. You know, we've got some really intelligent people in Europe, and guess what? They can't solve the problems we're facing. So how do we fix a broken world? There are some people say, well, we just need an entertainer, we need a bit of fun. Well, we do need a bit of fun, we do need a bit of entertainment, but guess what? There's more entertainment going on now in our present generation than at any other time. Hello? That's kind of shocking, really, isn't it? I mean, how many TV programs these days are based on entertainment, and how many are based on factual information? It's interesting how over the last 20 years our whole psychology of entertainment has changed. So entertainment is now one rather than factual evidences being number one. TV reality shows, as they call them, or I kind of think they're just like voyeurism shows, really, aren't they? You know, it's peeping into other people's business and things. And so do we need another entertainer to make the world happy? Well, I don't think so. But again, this is what people say out on the street. They say, we just need to be made happier because we're all miserable. Well, it's not working, is it? Do we need another politician? Well, that's kind of obvious. I mean, I'm not trying to say Angela Merkel is a Muppet here, or the EU is a bunch of Muppets, but I guess you could do. But this was the nearest I could get to I was going to say Donald Trump, but it's probably not politically correct to say that. So do we need a better politician to come in and sort out America and Russia and North Korea? Have you noticed that? That there is there's a fight for world leadership at the moment. America wants to be number one. Europe wants to be number one. I don't know what Britain's doing at the moment. Anyway, we won't go into that. China wants to be number one. North Korea wants to be number one. There is a real struggle for politicians to take over and be number one in the world. So do we need another politician? Hello, somebody awake?
No.
Give me a wave if you're awake.
No.
Thank you, David.
No.
Great. So do we need another politician? No, we've got enough Muppets on the Muppet Show, haven't we? And, you know, I used to enjoy watching the Muppet Show when I was a kid. Used to absolutely love it. But there were two grumpy old men in the box. I can't remember their names. Anybody remember their names? There we go. Thank you. And I love that, you know. But there's a danger that we too can become Muppets and just sit in the box and spectate as things go along and say, oh, it's a load of rubbish, I could do better than that. Well, actually, we couldn't. And we need to pray for our Muppets. I'm at politicians. We need to pray for Theresa May. For whatever you feel about her, she's actually got one of the most difficult jobs in the world at the moment. And for whatever you feel about her, pray for her. She needs our prayers. For what it's worth, she's been one of the only politicians in Europe who stood up and said we need to come against the child trafficking trade that goes across Europe at the moment. So we do need to pray for I keep on saying Muppets. I've got Muppets on the mind now. I love the Muppets. We need to pray for our politicians. So do we need another politician?
No.
No, good, you're awake. Excellent. Do we need more medicine? Well, we probably do in the UK with the way the NHS is going these days. The non-health service in some places. Do we need another doctor? Do we need another professor of medicine? Do we need another orthopaedic surgeon? No, actually, we've still got some of the best medical healthcare systems in the world. Some of the places I go to, my boss says to me this. He says, Wayne, whatever you do, don't get sick, because you really don't want to go into hospital, because if you go into hospital, you probably won't come out. Well, I'm thinking it's a bit like that in England these days, isn't it? You're lucky if you get into hospital. But so do we need another doctor?
No.
No, because, you know, we can patch people up, but that's not the answer. The problem is we're all getting sick, we're all getting old, some of us are getting bold and deaf, you know, we're still killing people and hurting people and patching people up. It's not the answer, is it?
No.
Gun crime's on the increase, drugs are on the increase, right across the world, mafia and all sorts of things. So, do we need another doctor? No. What about an army? Some people are saying, well, actually, we just need a stronger army in Europe, and then we won't have to worry about Putin. We need stronger armies in Africa, and that will solve the tribal conflicts. I don't know what we need in America. So do we need another army? No, because armies aren't the issue. It's peace, it's security, and other things. So an army isn't going to make any difference. Money, people say, what we need is more money put into the system. How many of you are enjoying the new £10 and £5 notes? No response. Oh, that's a bit scary, isn't it? Somebody put their hand up. I think they're interesting. We're a bit slow with plastic money. Places like Romania have had plastic money for more than 10 years. And so do we need more money put into the system? If money is the answer, well, if it was the answer, you would think that God would send more money into the system. Do you need to go to the loo? You can go to the loo if you want to. Oh, you got a question?
That's not the new one.
It is, because you've got a transparent thing in the middle. No, that's because you're not allowed to put them on the internet in case people copy them. You're a bright cookie, aren't you? Right. Let's move on. Education. Oh, wrong way. There we go.
How?
Education. There we go. I was thinking, I would look like that if I had more hair, wouldn't I? There we go. Do we need more education? Is education the answer? I think, you know, education without God just makes us clever devils. Hello? Because we can be really, really clever. If you look at technology, we're really creative, some brilliant minds out there, and most of the time it's used for good, but look at the evil in which it's used for. Some of the most brilliant minds have actually ended up doing some really evil things. So do we just need better education in the world? This is what governments and other people say. We need education on drugs, we need education on sex, and then we won't have these problems. Well, you know, they've been saying we need education on drugs and sex for as long as I can remember. I turned 50 this year, so that's an old age thing to do, isn't it? And for the last, well, I wouldn't say 50 years, because I can't remember half of them. For the last few years I've been living, the government has always pushed out we need better education that will solve the problems. And guess what? It hasn't solved the problems. So what is it we really need to fix this broken world? What is the real answer? Well, actually, the answer is we need a saviour, so God sent a saviour. Now, when you look at some of the images that we've been looking at, this doesn't look very significant. A little baby in a little wooden crib, or wrapped up with a bit of, well, it looks like Darjeeling tea, it's supposed to look like straw, in straw, doesn't look very significant for this world, does it? And guess what? This is the image the world gets of Jesus of this time of year, is that he's just a baby sat in the straw. He's not a saviour, he's just a nice cuddly little being. Well, maybe that's how we see babies as well at this time of year. I like babies because I've enjoyed being a dad, and I still enjoy being a dad. Well, that's quite a good one, isn't it? And none of my family are on this one, in case you're asking. And I'm not on any of these as well, because I don't think any photographs were taken of me when I was a baby, because I was so ugly. And you know, when a baby's born, they slap the baby. I think when I was born, they slapped my mother and said, "Yeah, what have you done?" That's a nice one, isn't it? There we go. I think that's my favourite one. And so we're thinking about a baby at this time of year, but why is a baby so significant when there are so many traumatic things in the world? And yet the thing is that there are several people in the Bible who went to visit a baby and they saw more in this baby than what other people saw. They actually saw something significant in this event. So three questions I want to ask. What do they go for? What do they see? And what did they leave with? Well, first of all, we know the shepherds went because we know the story really, really well. The thing that we don't concentrate on very often is their response. They actually went away and told everybody what they had seen. They said, "Our Saviour has come." And I want to ask you this time of the year to look at the baby Jesus afresh. Don't think about the problems in the world, think about the solution. If God thought we need an economist, he would send one. If we needed education, he would send a professor. If we needed more money, he would send more money. If we needed all the rest of it, he would send. But he didn't. He sent a saviour. And these humble shepherds, there they were, minding their own business in the middle of the night, and these angels came and started singing to them. Well, I guess if an angel came and woke me up in the night and started singing, well, I do get woken up by an angel sometimes, called my wife, but she doesn't sing, not to me anyway. And so they went around telling other people, this baby is really significant. Our Saviour has come. The wise men, a little bit later, they said, we have come to worship him. And they were astonished when they saw this baby Jesus. Here are wise men, senior academics in the world, and they went away after they'd worshipped him. And the gifts that they brought Jesus, gold, frankincense and myrrh, very descriptive of his nature, his character, his death, his ministry, within the gold and the frankincense and myrrh. There are two old people in the Bible who saw the baby Jesus. And I love Simeon and Anna. They're often neglected in the Christmas story. But actually what these two old people saw is probably the most significant in the way that they responded. Jesus is brought into the temple on the eighth day, according to what the Old Testament commanded. And here's this old man who takes Jesus in his arms and starts crying. And this is what he says. "Let me depart in peace. I have seen your salvation. God has prepared this, a light to the Gentiles." I've not seen many old men who pick up a baby and say, "I'm ready to die now." Hello? Have you ever seen that?
No.
I've never. Thank you. Lads at the back. Great response. I've never seen that in my life before. But here's this old man who's been to the temple regularly, and he sees something significant in this baby. He says, "This is it. This is what I've been waiting for all of my life. This is what God has promised, and I can die in peace now because my Saviour has come." You know, when Jesus was born into the world, it wasn't the perfect time. Do you know why there was a census put in place and why Mary and Joseph had to go and register themselves? Because the Roman government was saying, we need to find out how many men there are in the world who could either pay more tax or join the Roman army and help keep our empire upright and moving forward. So there's a big financial thing, there's a big political thing. And so the world was in turmoil as the Roman Empire is trying to maintain itself, because it's always trying to maintain itself. There was one Roman historian, the name of Suetonius, and he said this: "The greatest evil of our age is the fact that families are breaking up. And why can't parents spend more time with their families?" This is the first century world in which Jesus came into. It was a really difficult world. And yet here's this old man, he says, "This is the answer. Not another politician, not more money into the system, not more education, but a saviour." And he says, "My life is complete now." You know, this Christmas time when we think about the baby Jesus, can you honestly say before God that your life is complete now? Consumerism on the tellies this week is going to go ballistic, trying to sell you all sorts of things that you don't really need, and maybe in a few weeks time half the stuff is going to be sold, given off to charity shops in Tewkesbury while people go drinking coffee and buying stuff you didn't want. Hello? And yet here's this old man who says, "This is everything I need. This is what I really need, a saviour." And he says this, God has prepared this, a light for the Gentiles. Isn't it interesting? Here's this old Jewish man who, most old Jewish men in the first century were really patriotic and wanting Israel to be re-established into the world. And he says, this baby isn't just for us, it's for the world. When was the last time you heard of a Jewish person who said, we need to be here for the world and not just for ourselves? Now, I'm not being anti-Semitic because I've got Jewish roots, but there's this sense where Simeon saw more in Jesus than what everybody else was seeing. Hello? And he's an old man. I can die in peace. I have my salvation. And this is bigger than what I can see. This is going to have more of an effect than in my lifetime. And then you have this dear old lady Anna, and she'd been a widow a long time, and when she sees Jesus, she gives thanks to God, and she goes around telling everybody that she's seen the Saviour. What's your response this year when you reevaluate who Jesus is? Will it be like the shepherds who went away and told people and worshipped, or the wise men who were just astounded and said, this is it, this is what the world really needs, and went away and telling others? And like Simeon, who said, my life is complete, I can die in peace now because God really has everything in control in this world that is falling apart. Or like Anna, who went around her neighbourhood saying, Jesus has come, do you know him? Well, the Bible story actually begins a lot further than that. We have to go back in time to Genesis, where there's this beautiful garden. Because to understand the significance of who Jesus is, we've actually got to go back to the beginning of time. Not God's time, because God doesn't have a time, because he's always been there, if you're still with me. But the beginning of our time. And in this story, we see that God puts a man and a woman in a beautiful place. And I actually believe this story to be true. I don't have any problems with that. The problem is that men and women disobeyed God, and very soon after that they were thrown out of this beautiful place where they enjoyed God's presence. Isn't it interesting that God put men and women in the most perfect place, the most perfect environment? Not a big city where there's smoke and fumes and congestion and noise and stress, but in a beautiful garden. They had everything that they needed, and they had his presence freely to enjoy, but they disobeyed him. And so God put a no entry sign on the Garden of Eden. You can no longer come in here because you've disobeyed me. And so sin has separated man from God, because God is holy, and now he is in a bad way. Isn't it sad to think that just a little time later, Adam and Eve's two sons had a bit of a barney, or one of them did, and killed his brother. See how sin soon escalates into the world, until we have so much sin and suffering in the world today just from this one family. And so there's a problem in the world. The world is falling apart. But the story continues, and we see how God will have a plan. And it's interesting that when you look through the Old Testament especially, how many times it looks forward to the day where God will provide a plan. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. And you probably know that passage really, really well. A counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father, the prince of peace. Isaiah prophetically saw that one day this baby Jesus will come. You know, I wonder what it would be like. I'm using my imagination here, so don't burn me for heresy too quickly. I wonder if we could get Isaiah down from heaven and sit him next to Tim here. I wonder what Isaiah would say to us this morning. I think Isaiah would say to us, you are such a blessed people in 2017. You live in difficult times, but everybody's lived in difficult times. But you live in the age which I wish I could have. Because you live in the age of the fact that Jesus has come. You live in the age of this promised Messiah. Hello? Well, what a fantastic time we're living in 2017. Some of you don't look too convinced. Jesus has come. Hello? Yes, thank you. Good. Right. Well, I'm excited about that. And Isaiah 7 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, it's really important that Jesus was born to a virgin, and that he didn't have a earthly father, because Jesus had to be part God, part human, but he also had to be totally sinless from the beginning, so he would be a sacrifice. And so we see that the nation of Israel is established with the whole purpose of one day bringing forward the Messiah. You know, it's interesting, there are two groups of people in the world today that are having a real bashing. That's the Jews and the Christians. You have to wonder about what's going on, really, don't you? And so Israel brings forth the Messiah. If we had time, we could look at over 300 prophecies just in the Old Testament that are looking forward to the age which you and I are living in 2017, of what Jesus will be, where he will be born, and the kind of ministry he will have, and his death and resurrection. So we are living in really, really exciting times. And so the Old Testament people were always looking forward to the day Messiah will come. But before the first Christmas, bit of a quick history lesson, you had the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans all causing upheaval in the world. You know, there's upheaval in the world today, just like there was in the first century. But the answer is still the same. We still don't have access to God until we see the presentation at the temple of Simeon. And I'll just remind you, he says, "My life is now complete. I can depart in peace." This is something that is going to touch the world. Now, it's hard for us to imagine that at the moment, that at Christmas time it's about Jesus, whose life has touched the world and will continue to touch the world. You know, I was speaking to what they call a missiologist statistician. It's a really difficult word to say at this time of the morning. But he was telling me this, that the church is growing so fast in the world right now that they can't keep up with the results. Christians becoming in South America and in China. I think it's within the next 15 to 20 years there'll be more gypsy Christians in Romania than there will ordinary people, if you like. So there's some exciting things going on. Or will you be like Anna? Remember Anna who gave thanks to God. But there's still no entry sign. Can we really get into the presence of God? Well, how many babies do you know who are born for the sole purpose of sacrifice? And this is the purpose of Jesus, that he was actually born to die for your sins. This is why John 3:16 is so significant for this time of year. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." My maths is pretty poor, but I can work this one out. One cross, three nails equals four given. Hello, you still awake? Still with me? I know it's a little bit corny this time of the morning, but this is what Christmas is all about. What we really need in the world is to be forgiven and to have access to God. Do you know what the biggest problems in the world are? Is that people don't get on with each other. That's it. It's quite simple, really. Maybe I should be the next Muppet, a politician or world leader. It's obvious. It's not rocket science. It's the fact that we can't get on with each other. That's why there are tribal conflicts in Africa. That's why there's wars going on in the Ukraine and other places, because people do not know the real power of forgiveness. But when we do have that power of forgiveness from our sins, guess what? We have VIP access into the presence of God any time. I don't know if any of you have been to Buckingham Palace. I haven't. I thought you were going to. There we go. I have been in the presence of a king quite recently who invited me to go and stay in his house. One of the kings in Romania was in the Bible school I was teaching in, and he said through the translator, "You must come and stay with me this week, because this week we are going to slaughter the pig." And I thought, no, I don't want to do that, because I've seen the slaughter of the pig. The pig is about as big as a mini car, and it's whoop, and then just taken apart. And they really rejoice over that, so I thought, I'm not going to do that. But anyway, he was one of the gypsy kings. But can you imagine what it's like having VIP access into the presence of God 24/7? This is what Simeon and Anna saw. This is what the shepherds saw. This is what the wise men saw. Or as in Romans 5 verses 1 to 3 says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Isn't it interesting? An old man saw this and he says, "My life is complete." Little old lady saw this and she went around telling everybody, "Look what I've seen." Simple shepherds went to see Jesus and they said, "We have peace with God now." This is what the world needs. This is what we actually need in our hearts as well. I like what Simeon says. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Well, have your eyes really seen the baby Jesus, or have they got confused with the hustle and bustle of the Santa Claus Christmas? What we need is a saviour, because a saviour is the only one who can take us back to the presence of God. Well, what did you go for? What did you see? And what will you leave with as we have this stressful for some people run up to Christmas this week. What have we done in the world? And what do we need? We need a saviour. So at this time of year, will you come to the baby Jesus afresh and see him not just as another baby, a cute little baby, as some people would say, but somebody who really has come to save the world. Thank you, Tom.